I want you to get in a posture as if, you ready? As if the Spirit of God was going to say something to you that would radically help you, and you don't want to forget it. So you want to be able to write it down. So you ready? We have been in a journey. So good to see. I'm just looking around here, seeing you in church. We've been on a journey. We started this year, and we're calling it, we're walking in freedom. The title of this series is, Why Can't I Just? Let's say it together. Why can't I just? And you fill in the blank of that thing that you're trying to get over to be all that you can be. There's one sentence that's framing 2018 for us as a church. This is found in Galatians 5:1. Okay, Galatians 5:1 says these words, for freedom. Come on, read it with me if you would. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of the first part. Let's read it again. For what? For freedom, Christ has set us free. Now, I pray with all my heart that we can begin to realize just how bad God wants us to live free. What do you mean by free? Free to be everything that not only I want to be, but that God wants me to be as well. So passionately does he want you to live free that he gave us his only son. Now, I've got to confess already, this series must go much longer than just 3 weeks. I was so glad to have Pastor Jimmy here with us last week. I thought about bringing me a red sweat rag up here so I could wipe my face, but I didn't do that. I'm just going to be Pastor Charlie. You had to be here last week, and you missed it last week if you weren't here, by the way. But 3 weeks is not enough for us to unpack this series on how to live free, but I got to be honest, I've already ran out of time. Next week, we begin a very unique series in this church, and that's called At the Movies. And for 4 weeks, we're going to be exploring 4 movies and what God might be saying to us through those blockbuster movies. You know, God can speak to us in all kind of ways if we're listening. Okay, so that starts next week. And by the way, next week we have brand new service times. Anybody know about those service times? What time is church starting next week? 9:30 and what? 11:30. So next week, if you get here at 10:45, just go to Elam, get a cup of coffee, hang out. So let's say the new service time starting next week, 9:30 and 11:30. So back to what I was saying. This takes a lot to unpack, so I've just given you the outline, 5 points that are basically 5 different messages. So today's sermon is going to last 5 hours. I'm just kidding. We're not going to do that. But I'm just basically going to give you the headlines because we've run out of time. Look at the top there of your note sheet. How do we begin to walk in freedom? There it is. How do we just begin to walk in total freedom? Again, remember what freedom is. Freedom to be everything that God created me to be. Listen, God does not have low expectations for you. He has great expectations for you, and he wants you to live free, to stand firm in that freedom so you can hit the mark for which you were created and you being here for freedom. Christ has set you free. Stand firm in that and make sure you don't surrender to anything that would hold you back. So how do we begin to walk in that freedom? The very first way, the first step is a change of mind, is to understand that God intended, meant for every single one of us, this is your first fill in the blank, God intended for every single one of us, look at this phrase, to what? To reign, let's say it out loud, to what? To reign in life. That was God's intent for you. Not to be held back, not to be limited, but to reign in life. Now we see this from the very beginning. The scripture talks about, for those who just hang with me here and try to follow this argument, The scripture talks about in the very beginning the first Adam. Adam is the federal head of the human race. All of us trace our ancestry. We're all big one family, if we take the scripture seriously, from Adam. Well, God blessed Adam and Eve. And from the very beginning, he blessed them. This is what God, he made a garden for them, blessed them. He said, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and have, listen to these words, this is from God, have dominion, rule, and reign over everything I created. And then we know in Genesis chapter 3, there was disobedience, and Adam fell. Listen, he fell from that position of reigning, of having dominion. But in the fullness of time, as we keep going along in the history of humanity and the history of Scripture, God sends a second Adam. This second Adam is known as Jesus, the Son of the living God. Everyone who was attached to the first Adam lost, if you will, that ability to reign in life. And when God sent the second Adam, his son, everyone who was attached to him because of his obedience to the Father, he didn't fall. It is said that those who have him in their life and in their heart and have faith in him begin to learn to reign again in life. God designed you to reign. And really salvation and Christianity, listen to this. Christianity is really about a restoration of your ability to reign. Somebody never heard that before. Really, salvation is the beginning of us regaining our dominion in life. Okay, so track with me here. This is the Apostle Paul making an argument in Romans. See if you can track along with his line of reasoning. He said, if because of one man's trespass, now think the first Adam, that was Adam's sin. If because of one man's sin or trespass, death, read with me if you would, death reigned through that one man. Now look at the argument. Much more will those who receive the abundance of grace, that's God's help, the abundance of God's help, and the free gift of what? Righteousness. Now, here's the phrase that we're getting. Much more will they what? Reign in life. How? Through the one man, through the second Adam, through Jesus Christ. If by one man, just Adam, the first man, if by his fall so much was lost, he says, how much more will this second man, but he's not just a man, he's the Son of the living God. How much more will those who are in him reign in life through him? Now, I just want us to see that because it's a shift in our thinking. God wants me to reign. What does that word reign? In the Greek, it literally means to exercise complete authority and dominion as if a king, to rule, to have no, here it is, to be free, to have no limitations, that nothing's holding me back from being all that God's created me to be. I'm in charge. Let me suggest something to you. A definition of frustration for me would be, and maybe you've experienced this, you're given a job to do or an assignment, but you're not given the commensurate authority to be able to do it. Anybody had a job like that before? Let's show hands. Looking around. I mean, that can be like super frustrating, okay? You've given me a job, but I can't do the job because you haven't given me what? The authority to actually do it. I can't change the budget. I can't move personnel around. I can't do this and I can't do this. And so I'm just frustrated because I can see what you've asked me to do. And so I'm all tied up. And I wish, have you ever said this before? I wish I was in charge. Come on. If I were in charge, I could do it. Now hold on. Stay with me here. In the same way, your life, you have an assignment with your life. This is the assignment. Reign! This is the assignment. God has stamped destiny on every single one of our lives. You're looking around saying, no, it must not be. No, it's you. If you're a human being and you're breathing, God has purpose and assignment and destiny stepped on your life. And some of us are living frustrated. But because it's really not happening. Something is holding us back. And we feel like, man, if I were only in charge, if I was only empowered, there's the word. If someone would only give me the power and the authority to be able to do it. And here's the thing, God sent his son to set you free, to empower you to be the person and to do his will and to be free to be everything that God has destined and created you to be. I'm living. So some of us need to move from the place of I'm living frustrated to the place of tapping into the divine strength. Leaving the place of low expectations. And God created you to create, to design, to build, to prosper in this life. Hopefully you're asking the question, well, how in the world do I tap into that empowerment? I get it. I have an assignment. But I also need the authority the strength to be able to fulfill that destiny in my life. Well, that leads us to number two. When we think about walking in the steps of freedom, how do we do that? How do we tap into that power? Well, we don't need to make this complicated. We call on the power source. We call on Jesus' name this is important that we get this, as the gift of God's salvation. What does salvation mean? Please put this in your notes. What are you talking about, Pastor? We call on Jesus as God's gift. This word salvation means God's gift of wisdom, God's gift of power, God's gift of forgiveness, God's gift of unbounded hope, God's gift of creativity. We call on Jesus as God's gift of clarity for next steps, that idea that I need. We call on Jesus, and all that it means, it's pregnant with meaning, as our Savior. I call on his name, Jesus. Jesus' name. Look at Romans 1. We're going to skip down past that verse. I want to look at Romans 1 and 16. This is the Apostle Paul. He says, I am not, read this with me if you would, I am not ashamed of the good news. This word good news is literally the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Scripture says of Jesus Christ, the good news about God's Son. It is, keep going with me here, it is what? God's power to save everyone who what? Christianity isn't just simply just a, nice religion and we come and, no, we're talking about divine power that breaks shackles. Probably some of the heaviest shackles in this room right now are in the mind. Power, you can't break them yourself. They're wrong, negative patterns that have been handed down generationally in your life. But when we call on Jesus, he is the gift of God's power to everyone who believes. In 1 Corinthians, the scripture says it like this, Christ is the power of God, and he is what? He's the power, he's the gift of God's power, he's the gift of God's wisdom. He is the one appointed by God by which we are set free. I was visiting with Brother Bob, an elder in our church who is a dear spiritual father in his church, and he was recounting with me how he was saved. I think of that word, what we're talking about here. And he said, Nancy, my wife, went to some women had been inviting her to a Bible study, and she kept saying no, 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 and they just kept inviting her to this Bible study, women's Bible study. Finally, she went, and when she went, she heard the good news. Now, remember what we just, the scripture we just read. She heard the gospel, the good news about Jesus Christ for the first time, and that he is the power of God and the wisdom of God, the salvation of God. He forgives sins, and she invited Jesus into her heart, into her life. And she came home, and she was different. What do you mean, Pastor Charlie? It's just different. It's power. It's a change. It's the beginning of freedom. I'm moving in a greater dimension of liberty to be the father, the mother, the person, whoever that is, that God's created me to be. And she came home and said, Baba, I got saved tonight. He goes, what are you talking about, saved? He said, Nancy, we go to church. We've been going to church for years. At that time, he was a part of a church. He was on several of the committees in the church. You know, churches love to have committees. And he was on, he was a board member and on the finance committee, on this committee, a faithful member of the church. And he said, what are you talking about? He said, with tears rolling down his eyes, he said, Pastor Charlie, I had been in that church for years and I had never heard the good news. So I'm not talking about just coming to church. It's not the church that's the power of God. It's his son, Jesus, who is the power and the wisdom of God. I'm not knocking the church. The church plays a very critical role, but you can sit in church and never live free. When I heard that, I said, my God, I pray that no one would ever be able to come to community church without being confronted and without hearing the possibility that there's strength and salvation and hope in Jesus' name. If you call on his name, the scripture says, you shall be saved. So he said, Nancy's this, her life began to change, her countenance changed, and just kept going to church, kept going through the motions. Finally, she was going to another women's breakfast, and they were bringing in some big speaker. She invited Bob, and Bob was like, okay, I'll go. And he said it was at that breakfast, at a women's breakfast, that someone stood up and began to talk about Jesus and the good news. And now he's 77 years old, and with tears in his eyes, he goes, I remember hearing it for the first time in my heart. Was pounding within me, and I asked Jesus to come in, and my life, he still remembers it. I was changed. What is he talking about there? I was saved. It was the first step in tapping in. Oh, to the overwhelming grace, abundant grace. What are you talking about? Abundant, tangible help and strength of God. Now I want to stop right here and ask you, because we're talking about living in freedom. Some of us are frustrated. Why? We haven't yet been empowered to really fulfill that destiny that God has for you. You haven't been given the authority. Why? Because we haven't invited Jesus, surrendered our lives to him as God's gift of help and strength and salvation. I want to stop right here and ask you, have you been saved? You know, there's all kinds of ways you can ask this question. Here's another way. Have you been born again? Means the same thing. I'm glad you were born once. You're here. It's a natural birth. And you find your legacy, your history, all of our history, all the way goes back to that first Adam. But I want to ask you, have you been born a second time? You know, born from above. There's another way to say it. What are you talking about, Pastor Charlie? Born by the Spirit of God by calling on the one appointed by God, his son, Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. And you're born again into the family of God through that second Adam, Christ, who did not fall and did not disobey, but obeyed. And all who are in him experience this life and grace. I want to read a passage of scripture in Romans 8, Romans 8:13. Everyone who calls, we had that Romans 8:13, Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, the scripture says, will be what? Will be saved. Now, in the Greek, this gets very deep. Everyone means everyone. That was a joke. It's okay. It's not a trick. That means you. Well, Pastor Charlie, you don't know what I did, or you don't know my history. Doesn't matter. Everyone who calls on his name, he's the gift that God sent. God so loved the world that he sent his son, gave his son. Whoever calls on his name taps in to new beginnings, new freedoms, new help. I want us to just to pause right now. If you're comfortable with this and you're not comfortable with it, I want you to put your hands out like this. Can we do that? Just in a way of receiving. You know what you do with gifts? You receive them. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Would you close your eyes and bow your head just right now? I just feel impressed under this. There might be several of us in this room who your destiny is going to begin to take on new urgency. The past is going to be severed. You're going to walk out of this place new. There's going to be a change, a spiritual dynamic, a shift. As you call on, I want to invite you right now, in your heart, to call on Jesus' name. Lord Jesus, we just pause right now, and I thank you that salvation, power, cleansing, strength, hope, unbounded hope is coming right now. Help is on the way as people across this sanctuary, Lord, are calling on your name. I thank you for it. Come on, don't wait. Just right now, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, forgive me. Lord Jesus, help me. Lord Jesus, help this year to be different than the last. Come on, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. All of us said, come on, all of us said, amen, amen. Amen. So we call on Jesus' name. I got to keep moving quickly. The third way that we really begin to keep the strength and the power of God flowing in our lives is we have to be careful not to allow any undealt with stuff. Everyone say stuff. Stuff. The scripture calls stuff sin. We have to be careful not to allow any undealt with sin block off or cut us off from the flow of God's help and power in our lives. What is sin? I want to make sure that we're all on the same page. Sin is any time that we miss the mark of what God wants. I don't want to go off on a tangent here, but some of you are tracking with me. I just want to submit to you that one of the great sins is probably not what you think it is. One of the great sins is with the very life God's given you, not fulfilling the purpose for which he created you. In other words, you're doing something, and that's not what he wanted you to do. He wants to see that. He has a purpose for me. I'm living. I'm alive. And so sin is anytime that we're off target from what God wants. And here's the thing. If we don't deal with them, it begins to block his strength from in our lives. Here's Isaiah. Thousands of years, the prophet Isaiah said it like this. Listen, the Lord's arm Now, you can disagree with Isaiah, but at least think. Consider what he's saying. He said, listen, the Lord's arm is not too weak to what? Now, save, remember, power, strength, healing, going to the next level. It's not too weak to help you. Nor is his ear too deaf to hear you call. But if we take Isaiah seriously, he said it's your what? It's that you're just missing the mark. That have cut you off. What? Cut you off from God. Now, we go on and on and on. You get the idea. Here's the challenge or the difficulty is that all of us sin. You hear? Adjust your halos. I know you just straighten them out a little bit. I know you don't. But if we're honest, all of us have faults and shortcomings and weaknesses. And the real question is, what are we going to do? This year, you know, is the year of freedom. And so one of the things Jill and I have been talking about in 2018, we're gonna eat healthy or, eat better. And Friday night, we were out late. We went and saw our Virginia Academy Patriots basketball team win and beat, who do we beat? I forgot already, huh? Christ Chapel. Amen. It's so good to beat Christ Chapel. And we varsity basketball, and we beat them in the last, I'm going to say 20 seconds without the referee's help. They weren't helping us at all, but we still pulled it out. And we won. It was a late night, and so we jumped in the car. We're so hungry. We're like, well, let's go get some food. So we found ourselves in Chick-fil-A, and Chick-fil-A has salads. But I just went up to the counter, and before I knew it, I was looking up there, and I said, I want a chocolate milkshake. And I felt this cold stare from Jill. She was sitting there, and she's just, really? And I was like, yeah, chocolate milkshake. And I want chicken strips. Not the 3-count, I want 4-count. And waffle fries, and sweet tea. So I grabbed it all. I went to the car. We're driving home. I ate everything. And then I reached in her bag and ate her waffle fries too. So that was Friday night. And then last night, still riding high. Jill comes in. Charlie went to spend the night somewhere and says, Kate's bringing over some friends. This was just Oakley and Jude and I. I put my arms around and said, it's guys' night. And they're like, yeah, it's guys' night. So I ate that night, last night, had 25 wings, 2 slices of cheese pizza, cheese sticks. We were pounding cheese sticks. Had a Moscow mule. I kid you not, at 2 o'clock this morning, I woke up and I was just regretting guys' night. So I was just feeling awful. And Jill's like, what's wrong? I was like, nothing, babe. Nothing. Everything's good. Didn't get much rest. So I'm supposed to be in here, praying at 6 o'clock. And I texted Brian, said I'm going to be a little late this morning. You guys enjoy me confessing my sins right up here. But what are we saying? Well, none of us in here, nobody is without what? Shortcomings, stuff. And here's the thing, what are we going to do? Because it happens all the time. Scripture says, 1 John tells us what we can do. 1 John 1 and 8, it says, if we say we have, we're just kind of sitting there. I got this one figured out, Pastor. We deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we what? Confess our sins. If we what? Confess our weakness, our difficulty, or whatever it is. God's what? He's faithful and just to forgive us. Now, what are you talking about, Pastor Charlie? I got to move on. This is a whole message. But some of us are living from a position of weakness simply because it's been a long time since we just stopped and listened, examined our hearts, and listened to our consciences. Some of us, it's been a long, you're living from a position of weakness because it's been a long time since you just stopped and said, Lord, you examined your heart and you said, Lord, forgive me. And you put it in, whatever it is, Lord, I'm sorry. This is what you wanted. I know that, and I blew it. Will you forgive me? It says, I'm faithful. The scripture says he's faithful and just to what? And that channel can be opened up again to receive the grace. Even right now, some of us need to stop and say, Lord, here I am, forgive me. And the channel of God's grace and help can be flowing again in our lives. But here's the thing. The source of our power is not just simply vertical to be everything that we can be. Stay with me here. God is also intensely concerned with how we treat one another. So we not only receive power to be everything God's called us to be, that freedom, not just vertically, but we also receive it horizontally. Just me scratching your head, what's happening right now? I want you to look at what Jesus, this is what Jesus was teaching in Matthew 5. He said, if you are about to offer your gift to God, that's the vertical, right? I'm coming to church, I'm going to give my offerings, I'm going to do my thing, just pray. Whatever that is, if you're about to offer your gift at the altar and there you remember that your brother, your sister, your coworker, something, a mom, a dad, an aunt, uncle, whatever, someone has something against you, Jesus said, don't worry about it. Just go ahead and keep worshiping and praying. God doesn't care about that anyway. You can be all right as long as you're not all right with people this way. No, I'm sorry, that's not what Jesus said. If we take Jesus seriously, he said, leave your gift there in front of the altar. Go at once and make peace with your brother. And then, what? And then come back and offer your gift to God. Wow. So. God's like, I'm okay, just stop the worship service, I'm okay. First, go do your best to make peace. It'll be all right, then come back and worship me. Here's the insight there in your notes. Because we're talking about walking into a new level of freedom, is that our relationship with God is not separate from our relationships with others. In fact, the two go hand in hand. So I want to ask you a question. Is there someone that has hurt you, or is there someone that has something against you? What are you going to do about it? We're talking about the freedom. Now, I got to move quickly here. I want us to be careful just of something, just real quick, because we hear forgiveness messages, and I got to walk in forgiveness, yes, yes. Let's go a little deep dive, just real quick. We have the first, be careful of the, what? Everyone say it with me, the forgiveness, what's that? I'm getting ready to tell you. Be careful of the forgiveness game becoming a mask for what's really going on is our own arrogance and judgmental spirit. Come on, point at me. You're so glad you came to church. Come on. Hallelujah! Woo! What are you talking about, Pastor? I want to be careful that the forgiveness game. What's the forgiveness game? You know how it goes. All kind of different ways. You didn't come home when you were supposed to, and you didn't call me, and so I'm mad at you. We'll just use that as an example. I'm mad at you. And I'm not going to forgive you. Let's go through the whole cycle until you what? Until you say I'm sorry. Yeah, and you better buy some flowers too and maybe take me out. But I'm going to withhold. Here it is. I'm going to withhold forgiveness from you as if I had a right to do that, right? Now, we have to be careful here because we're acting like something we're not. There's only one person who would really have the right to withhold forgiveness. There's really only one person who is perfect. And here's the mind-blowing thing is, even though he's perfect and so good and never makes mistakes, is he still forgives us. And yet if we're not careful, we can in turn withhold forgiveness for others as if forgetting that we're human also. That's where we're talking about the forgiveness game. So the offense happens, and then before forgiveness happens, there's that space, and during that space, I'm kind of looking down my nose at you until you forget. And if we're not careful, we can forget our own humanity. Let me just say something here. People are people, okay? We're people. And mistakes, faults, mess-ups, blunders are mandatory. Let's just embrace our humanity for a second, okay? It's okay. Take a deep breath. Everyone take a deep breath right now. Ready? I know you're in church, so take a deep breath. We have weaknesses. Pastor Charlie has frailties, shortcomings, insecurities. All of us have insecurities. And when we withhold forgiveness, if we're not careful, we can be acting like we're up here somewhere. I really don't have those kinds of problems. And I'm just going to kind of keep my nose up in the air and wait until you drovel and humble yourself. I'll just withhold the forgiveness for a while and maybe forgive you. I wonder what God thinks of that. I was, be so careful. Forgiveness is, the forgiveness game isn't hiding a judgmental spirit. Some of us in here just need to, you could tap into a fresh strength of God if you just said, you know what, you don't even have to forgive me. I already, you don't have to say it, I already forgive you. I already release you. How could you do something? Because I'm in tap with my own humanity and I know. I'm not looking down on anybody. I remember several years back, I picked up the newspaper and I read about this single mom and a kid was crying all night and she went in and picked up the baby, could not get the baby, her baby to console. She hadn't had a lot of sleep and ended up shaking the baby and the baby died. And I remember my heart, I was like, how could anybody, what a terrible, you know, how could somebody do that? Terrible mother. Just, you know. Fast forward several years and Jill and I have our second. We're about 2 weeks in, and Charlie's 2 weeks old, and we're not getting any sleep. How do you know when you don't get sleep, you can start going crazy? I'm serious. I'm not talking about like a figurative crazy. I'm talking a real crazy. I'm serious. A real. You're not getting sleep. You're not thinking straight. They're like 2 weeks in, and Charlie, it's like 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, and I stumbled in there and picked him up. And I tried to, you know, the motherly, gingerly, you know, it's okay. And he's just crying. And then I started getting angry. I started getting frustrated. And so I said, in my mind, I was like, he needs to hear father voice. He's just a baby. I'm like, hey, son. Cut it out now. Cut it out. That didn't work at all. Just, you know, crying more. I don't know what I was thinking. Okay, that's enough, Charlie. Cut it out, son. And his little rear end, I started, you know, pat it, hit it, like a spanking, like a baby spanking. I don't know what I was thinking. I was like, okay, that's enough. Cut it out. Cut it out. That's enough. He would not stop. And I'm getting more frustrated. And I remember walking over to the crib and putting Charlie in, and just kind of just putting him down roughly. And as soon as I did it, I remembered that story. Here's the thing, is that I was able to walk into the next room and say, honey, I'm losing my mind. You got to help me out. You got to go in there. And the woman I had judged was a single mom. Who does she go into and say, help, I'm losing my mind? A judgmental, a withholding of forgiveness, any kind of, you know, superiority, like anger, anything like that, always with other people, will shut off, will choke off the help and the power. We can't live as free. Can't be all that God's called us to be when we're in that. Look what the scripture says. Colossians in 3. It says, since God chose you to be the holy people he loves. God chose you. He loves you. You must clothe yourselves with, read these with me if you would, tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness. Who's just getting an A+ in all these? You're just killing it. You see, when we talk about will of God, this is his will. We're talking about the mark. Tender-hearted what? Mercy. Kindness. Humility. Gentleness. Patience. Let's keep going. Make what? Read with me. Make allowance for each. Now just stop right there. I want to ask you, who are you so angry at? Why? Well, I'm withholding. They're going, okay. Make allowance for it. Some of us in here, I could change this a little bit. Some of us in here need to make allowances for your own faults and shortcomings and weaknesses. Because you beat yourself up all the time, you end up beating everybody else up. And you can't have compassion to them because you don't have compassion on yourself. Are you here? You doing all right? God loves you just the way you are. He's not waiting for you to get your act together before he loves you. He already loves you. And here's the thing. He comes alongside of you and will help you get your act together. And if you fall, he picks you back up. Come on, let's keep going. Why? Because he's so patient. There's no one more patient than him. Or merciful. Or kind, or gentle. He's so magnanimous. Make allowance. Let's keep going. Make allowance for each other's faults. And forgive anyone who what? Offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you. So you must what? Forgive us. Above all, make sure you clothe yourself with what? Love. Love will keep a family. Love does what? Binds all things together This is a recipe for a successful marriage, successful family, successful life, making allowance. So what's the fourth thing is I'm going to constantly work at being a peacemaker. I'm going to make peace. I'm going to make amends. I'm going to make sure that the horizontal relationships around me, look at it, make every effort to make amends with anyone that I may be at odds with. I'm going to start with my wife. On and on and on and on. Number five, fifth one, pursue God. Pursue God and, say it with me, what? Healthy friendships by genuine participation. Where am I going to get healthy friendships? Genuine participation in God's house. Until God's house becomes a central and a regular habit of our lives, we should not expect it to have too much of an impact on our houses. But if we will make it a central part of our lives, this is a house of freedom, by the way. And as you start making God's house a central part of your life, you also and your house will begin to walk in that freedom. Look at Psalm 92. We'll wrap this up. Psalm 92, the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. Say it with me. Planted where? Planted in the house of the Lord, they will, what? Flourish. We'll stop right there. Planted in the house of the Lord. Three ways that you can genuinely, I want you to know in this church, how can you genuinely participate and pursue healthy friendships? Basically three ways. Number one is, they're going to be up here. Number one is just simple church services. Congratulations. There's three legs to this stool of blessing. All three. Without one of these legs, it's just going to fall. It's, Lord, I'm coming to your house weekly. The second is I'm finding a place to serve. I'm joining a team in your house, Lord. I'm serving other people. How do we do that here at this church? You go through Grow. And number three is I'm connecting with other people. Join the Connect group. You know, those walls outside, why can't I just, so many of us wrote so many things that we're overcoming this year in 2018. It's just, thank you so much for sharing those. Do you know that we have groups on just about all those issues and stuff? And that you can like join with other like-minded people in 2018 and make progress in Jesus' name. Service host, let's hand out these bags. While these bags, I got a gift for everybody here. While those bags are being handed out, I'm going to read a note I've got. And every one of these, I want you to see if you can pick out every single one of the legs of this stool of blessing called God's house. It's Pastor Charlie, I want to write to thank you for the blessing that Community Church has been in my life. I began attending community church regularly about 4 years ago. I became part of a Connect group. After a year or so of participating in that group, I was baptized and then began serving regularly. Although I always loved the Sunday messages, it took me a while to feel like I was truly a part of community church. Maybe that's you. You still really don't feel like you're coming, you're attending, but it's not really your church. I know that regularly serving in See Kids, date nights, Angel Tree, Christmas decorating, and more has really made the difference. Each time I serve, I meet someone new and get to know someone better, making me feel more and more at home. Community church feels like my church now, not just the church I attend. I often invite family and friends, blah, blah, blah. Listen to this. I did not raise my children with any religion. And as teenagers, I found it somewhat difficult to suddenly impose it upon them. So, instead, I just concentrated on strengthening my own relationship with God and making Him and the church a priority in my life. Some parent needs to hear that. I just concentrated on strengthening my own relationship with God and making him and his house a priority in my life. Wow. I am grateful for the path on which the church has steered me, which brings me closer to God, closer to understanding the love of Christ, closer to knowing God's purpose for my life. This has been invaluable in my life as I have coped with difficulties and tragedies. And I know it will be invaluable to my children as well. She goes on and on and on and on. So we have a decision to make. You look at those five things about walking in freedom. Everyone got it? I want you to pull it out. So here it is. We're going to remind ourselves this year, this band is going to be a way to remind us that this year I'm going to be everything. I'm going to walk in that freedom, pursue that freedom, be everything that God has created me to be. I'm looking around. I see a bunch of like deer in headlight looks. Does everyone have one? Do you have one? Look, okay, I see him. If that's you and you want to take this journey, I want you to put it on right now. And as you're putting it on, I want you to say this with me. In 2018, come on, say it. I'm going to walk in total freedom. I'm going to be everything that God created me to be. That was awful weak. Let's try it again. I'm going to be everything that God created me to be in Jesus' name. And so this will be a reminder of the new life that we're going to begin to taste in 2018. Lord, I thank you for this day. Thank you for your house. This is a house of freedom and liberty. And Lord, I do pray for every person, the sound of my voice, Lord, that each one of us would leave this place different than when we came. In Jesus' name. Come on, all of us said, amen. Amen. Amen.